The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Welcome to episode 161 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill, and I'm joined by a man who definitely hasn't been caught by a private detective in his current relationship. It's Gordon Dalziel. How are you doing?
Good morning. Yes, I'm doing absolutely
brilliant. That's factually correct what I've just said there.
Yeah, yeah. And the last one I made up anyway, so yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But if people like to believe it, then...
There's nothing you can do.
That's showbiz, mate.
That is showbiz.
People make up their own mind. Do you know what I've come into the new year with?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I'm never going to look back and I'm never going to look forward. I'm in the moment.
Okay, right.
I'm in the moment.
And you've stopped drinking?
I do that every year. I go January, dry January.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year I went 3 months.
Okay.
Which is probably the longest I've not had a glass of wine, because I love a glass of wine my dinner. I like a couple of drinks socially. But the difference you feel...
Are you feeling refreshed?
Unbelievable. I was in the gym this morning at 7:15.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 7:15. So it shows you, rather than get up on a Monday morning, feel a bit sluggish. Look, I'm not against anybody having a drink. I love a drink myself. But for me... Not having a drink since January 1st, then it's been absolutely a game changer. I love it. I love that 3 months. Do you know, I'd love to have that willpower that a lot of people have, that they get to 3 months and then they just decide, no, enough's enough.
And that's you.
I would love to be a non-drinker.
Well, listen, there's lots of non-drinkers probably listening to this podcast, even though drinking...
Would give me a lot of advice.
Exactly. There's a lot of non-drinkers. So if you've got any advice, any non-drinkers for Gordon Dalziel and his dry January and all the rest of it. But usually drinking helps you watch this podcast or listen to this podcast. It does make it go a wee bit quicker. Hey, one man who is not having a dry January is John. And how are you this morning?
But January's a nightmare, isn't it? It's a bit boring, so just keep on the drink. I mean, drink, obviously, drink responsibly, obviously, and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, Janny's, you've got to have a wee drink.
John, you're only on the drink because you're celebrating every weekend.
Brilliant,
with your teammate.
Superb.
Yous are flying.
I know. Great a wee away day in Paisley on Saturday there. A couple of drinks. All good. You know what? Just enjoy yourself in January. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Don't feel that you'd need to stop drinking because everybody else is.
But hold on, John. Let me just say something, right? I've got to say, in the last, since I've not had a drink since obviously doing the dry January, I've really enjoyed myself in the fact that I'm more active.
Yeah.
I'm going to the gym.
Good.
I'm enjoying what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I've got more energy.
Yep.
Everything about it. So as much as you're right, John, everybody out there likes a wee glass of wine or whatever their tipple is, enjoy yourself. I'm actually enjoying myself more in dry January.
Well, there you go. I'm enjoying none of those things that you've just reeled off there.
I know one person that's not enjoying himself, and I must admit, I've got to say, right, it's not nice, but I did have a real giggle.
Who?
Used to be a fellow colleague and a brilliant guy.
Okay, tell me
more. Yoon.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
I feel so.
We don't talk about him anymore. His name is Dirt on this podcast.
He's actually here. We've got his ashes, remember? We've got his ashes in the urn. There he is.
I had to have a giggle at the weekend.
Fell over.
If he watches, and I think he still does, because
he
keeps his eye on everything. You and get better.
Yeah, really.
They just copy everything we do anyway, Dad. So of course he watches.
Exactly.
You'd have broken your leg, he'd have done it straight after anyway. So it's fine.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly.
So there you are. Right. Thanks for all the comments on last week's show. As per usual on the quiz, Stephen Hill, nearly typical John. Pretty sure the Spartans' official name comes after Stranraer in the alphabet.
Right, I've seen lots of comments saying...
Caffer's saying the same.
Yeah, see on all the tables, it's Spartans. And every single league table, it's Spartans, not the Spartans. All right? So let's just put that one... It wouldn't have made a difference
because we both said Stranraer anyway.
But so it wouldn't have made a difference.
I did see another comment saying this is probably John's sweatiest episode yet.
Yeah, I didn't put that one in.
But
it's Spartans. And every table you look at, it's Spartans. Spartans. There's no complaints from you, Stephen. You'd be the first one to complain about that.
No. Well, I'm in the heat at the moment. I can't be across everything, John.
Right.
This is literally your job. You've got one job.
So you're saying you made a mistake, John?
No, I'm not saying... It's Spartans. That's what they're referred to, Spartans.
Right. Chris Smith says, everyone keeps saying Celtic need to sign another striker. They already have five, yes, five strikers at the club. You seriously think they're going to buy another one? Yes, because all those five strikers aren't very good, Chris. So they need one that's good.
I think they need more than one.
Yeah.
I'm going two. Yeah. If they're going to be right up there to win the title, I think that could be the difference. I keep saying it. I think you look at the weekend's football, we'll come to it. Obviously, three horse race now. Mm-hmm. We've got to say, Motherwell, Hibs, share of points. But how would you call this? I think January is massive. The more you get in, the better, especially if they're goal scorers.
Yeah, absolutely. James Jenkins says, if you're born on a plane, it wouldn't matter where you were because you would be Scottish as you were born in the sky. Sky.
Sky.
It's good.
Or I like that.
The air.
Air.
Very
Robbie
good.
Buns.
There you are. So James has got a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah.
Right, this week in Scottish football, we recorded the podcast and then they sacked Wilfred Nancy, did Celtic, about 2 hours later. So he's gone, Tisdale gone, and Martin O'Neill back in, obviously. You'll have heard that by now. Neil McCann is in at Kilmarnock as well, opened with a draw at the weekend. Scott Arfield has signed with Livingston. Talk me through that one then, John.
Well, he's not getting game time at Falkirk, and obviously Livingston have got big bucks according to their chairman, so, you know, Scott's probably wanting to get game time.
But I thought it was a big fairy tale, Scott Arfield coming.
Well, of course it
big,
was.
Big, massive fairy tale
it was,
coming
it was
back,
brilliant.
And then as soon as somebody's flashed their knickers at him, he's away with a shot.
No, listen, Scott wants to get game time, and he wasn't going to get it at Falkirk. You know,
good move, John.
You know, he's we've got a lot
I guess it's a good move for him, but, like, you can't dress it up as some sort of, like, fairy tale his career at Falkirk and all this.
He came back, he played for 6 months, he got us into the Premiership. How is that not a fairy tale?
Yeah.
Well,
will there be a stand named after him?
No, there won't be. But,
no?
We've not got
will
enough,
he be up there?
We've not got enough stands.
Maybe if you get another stand, you
name seats and everything after every player that's ever played with Falkirk.
No, you don't.
Ah, you do. Fuck it. Honestly, there's people there.
Actually, knows.
They visited Falkirk as a tourist and they've got their name in the seat.
A tourist in Falkirk?
I mean, surely the Gordon Dalziel stand at Raith Rovers is a shoe-in with obviously the league record top scorer. Surely,
mate. See when
do you think when you die? Do you think when you die they'll name it after you?
I'll tell you now. It's in my will. I would refuse it.
If really?
They're going to do it, yeah. If they're going to do it,
what about a lounge? What about a lounge?
Let me enjoy it. No, stick their lounge up their arse.
So you just want a stand? You wouldn't take a lounge at Raith Rovers?
No, I want
the Gordon Dalziel lounge.
No, I want a stand.
Really?
Of course I do. Most successful ever up there.
Right,
you kidding me on?
Are you the top goal scorer?
Of all time?
Yeah. Of all time?
Yeah. Captain Cup final, everything. I sweat, blood, everything for that club. You know what I mean? And they've no even decency.
You might be back in the dugout fairly soon. They're having a bit of a shocker.
No, Dickie's up there. He's started
okay.
It'll
be
okay.
The weekend.
Well,
got beef at Dunfermline.
You've got. I'm just looking at the. So, what's the north stand, the away stand? What's that called at the moment?
Oh, well, it used to be the Val McDermott stand. But
it
then
was. That's
a perfect example, right?
Right.
Val McDermott. She's an author or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know she's a big Raith Rovers fan. I really appreciate her support. Mm-hmm. But what has she fucking done to deserve a stand? And I'm sitting here.
She
with
put money into the club.
Don't a minute. I kept the club, me and all the players that sweated blood for it. Cup final, give them the greatest moment in their history.
Well,
never repeated.
She's sold,
I'm no bitter.
She sold
way.
20 million books.
I couldn't give a shit how many.
Well, that's more. Is that
how
more
many goals did she score?
I didn't think very many.
Exactly.
So is this the new? Is this what's happening? You're calling out Val McDermott now?
No, I'm not calling out Val, right? Because right. I appreciate the support of Raith Rovers, and I appreciate everybody's support. But I am not for the fact to put money into a club, they get a stand named after them.
Right, okay, so at the moment you've got the Turnbull Hutton main stand.
There's another
the
one.
Craig
he
Lee
was the chairman. He was the chairman.
Yeah.
He put money, what did he do? He was the chairman. I was in the bath longer and he was the chairman.
Right, the Craig Lee timber frame stand and the Penman family stand.
There's
and
another
the
one, put
stand.
Money in. Fucking contributed nothing apart from financial. What about guys like who built the club? Frank Connor, right, who was absolutely brilliant. Jimmy Nicol took Raith Rovers and won it as a manager. Why is Jimmy Nicol not
a stand? What about the Paul Harvey stand?
Paul Harvey?
Yeah.
Paul Harvey was a good player, by the way.
He's the record transfer for Raith Rovers. 200,
no, he's not.
225,000?
No, he's not. That's bollocks. No, he's not.
All right, okay. Okay, tell me more. So according to this is on Raith Rovers' official website, Paul Harvey, £225,000 from Airdrie in July 1996 was the record transfer.
No, he's not. Christ, McInnesby.
He was sold.
He was sold for 900,000 to Bolton.
That's right.
So Paul Harvey was signed. He's the record signing.
Signed for 200 odd grand.
Yeah, Paul Harvey.
Right, but surely...
Paul Harvey, fuck it, I'll burn it down.
You surely go the other way, wouldn't you? McInnesby got 900,000 in.
I thought it wasn't about money, though.
It's not about money, but if you're talking about record signings and money going in or out, then if you're talking financially...
What about Raith Rovers' most capped Scotland player?
Go.
David Morris.
Well, yeah, I'm all for that. But I'm certainly not...
Six caps for Scotland.
We've got... Raith Rovers have got three stands up there. And
played
all of
with Raith Rovers between 1920 and 1925.
I'm sounding bitter here, right? And I'm not...
You do sound pretty bitter.
Yeah, because I'm a really lovely guy. and I appreciate every single thing that Val and all these people have done for the club in sense of putting financial stuff in. But what about the guys that had to go out there in the rain, the snow, the wind, day in, day out, and go and have to produce to keep the club and take them to their finest moments?
Well,
what about these guys?
I reckon you could get a lounge, Daz. I'm just looking down at the lounge.
Stick your lounge right up your ring.
Right.
What about Davey Sinclair?
Oh, Davey Sinclair.
Davey Sinclair. Hi. Davey was a good, good, honest, pro, good player.
Yeah, so Davey Sinclair stand.
Why?
Don't know.
Why?
Well, I know all the things that you've just said, blood, sweat and tears for the Rovers and all the rest of it. Won the League Cup.
But you could say that about a million, but there were great guys up there, Ronnie Coyles, Heathersons, McStays. You go way back to, you know...
Well, no, I mean, I'm looking at Raith Rovers club honours here. They won the First Division in 92-93.
Yeah.
Then he's got relegated.
The next year?
The next year, 93, 94.
Yeah, okay.
And then you won the league again, 94, 95.
Yeah. So two championships, League Cup final.
I was going to say, that is Raith Rovers' most successful time in their history because they won two First Division championships and the League Cup.
Yeah.
So are you putting yourself as the forefront of that? Were you the sort of focal point?
Well,
Because you know, like Stevie Crawford scored in the final?
Yeah.
Legend.
Was he the captain?
He was just a young boy.
I bet he played for Dunfermline.
25, 26 caps for Scotland.
Doesn't matter. Was Jason, he skipper?
Jason Dare.
It's about leaders.
Jason Dare.
It's about leaders. Oh, listen, every one of the guys in that cup final team from not just the starting 11, the subs in the squad, and guys like
Scott
that.
Scott Thompson, a far more vital role in the final. He saved the penalty that won the cup. Scott Thompson stand.
Hold on a minute. Right. Celtic, the cup was coming down the marble staircase with the green and white ribbons on it, right, with 5 minutes to go. What happened? Take yourself back.
I mean, I don't remember. I was just a wee boy. Obviously, I've seen it since then, but you scored. I know you scored, yeah.
And Tom, so what I'm saying is guys like Jimmy Nicol, Frank Connors of this world.
Jason Rowbottom,
come on, scored a brilliant penalty, by the way. Sean Dennis, late Sean Dennis.
I don't even know who Jason Rowbottom
right,
is.
Right, he come on as a sub and scored a penalty. Guys like that, guys that have...
David Neary, there's a man of the match. Achieved, one more than the rest of the squad combined.
Right.
In his entire career. So there's a man who should have a stand named at Raith Rovers.
No, he shouldn't. He should have a stand named after him at Dundee United because that's where he was most successful.
I know, but he won. Right. He came to Raith Rovers and led you to a League Cup.
You go around most clubs. Hold on a minute, John. Is Alec Totting got a stand?
You got subbed off.
You didn't even complete the game.
Hold on, stop a minute here.
Alec Totting's got a lounge named after him.
Right. Okay. Is any manager in history of Falkirk got a stadium?
A stand named after him, though.
No. He's a shit as well. Right. You've got to give recognition to guys that built your club.
Ken McAllister's got a stand named after him.
But there
he's still alive as well.
Yeah, but Alec Totting, seriously?
He's got a lounge.
I think
you're going too high here. I think Stephen's right, Daz. You've got
for somebody who couldn't even complete the game, who got subbed off because
you did get subbed off.
You didn't even play against Bayern Munich.
You shat it before the penalty.
I became the manager of Air United the night that Raith Rovers played Bayern Munich, John. Yeah. So do your research, would you, before you button?
You didn't play against them.
Right, hold on a minute. You're talking about shoved off. I was injured in the semi-final, right? And I played. I was up to the last minute in the cup final and I had to go and I played, right? And I think I come off an extra time. My calf had gone.
Right.
Right. So
what about the Julian Brodel stand?
Julian Brodel stand?
Right. Oh,
right.
He played. He started in the final. Julian Brodel.
You could name every player now.
The sub goalie, Brian Potter.
Right.
The Brian Potter stand.
The Potter stand sounds nice. My thing is, I think that I'm jesting about myself, right?
You're not really.
But surely Jimmy Nicol gets a stand named after him.
I would think so.
That will never be repeated again. Jimmy Nicol led us to the cup final as a manager, won the championship, took us into Premier League twice, and yet you've got an author fucking wrote 20 million books or whatever she might be, right? We're stand. Seriously?
They should take a leaf out of Dunfermline. We've got the Norrie McCarthy stand. Club record appearance holder.
100%. You recognise people that were brilliant for your club. They've been out there and done it for your club.
I'm sure there'll be a Jim Leishman stand.
Correct. And deservedly so. I think there should be an Alec Totten stand. I'm going to make a
case for that.
Yeah.
So you've got no stands named after anyone, John? Or is it what you got? John, are you still there?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, what stands have you got at Falkirk? You've only got three.
Kevin McAllister stand.
Why Kevin McAllister?
Exactly. Why Kevin McAllister?
Because he was home alone.
Aye, because he was in home alone and he played with Falkirk.
Why Kevin McAllister? Had four.
No, but is surely somebody like Alex Totten deserves
Alex Totten's got a lunch.
That's
shite. Exactly. Alex Totten Kevin McAllister was player at the Millennium for Falkirk. He had four spells at the club. He scored umpteen goals. He played in the 97 Scottish Cup final with the side.
Did he win? No, he didn't. He won leagues
with Falkirk.
I mean, Jamie McCunney played for Dunfermline in a Scottish Cup final. We wouldn't name a stand after him.
Doesn't matter. Kevin McAllister's an absolute legend. Is he
a bigger legend than Alex Totten?
Yes.
Ah, my bullshit. Bum.
How's he a bit home?
Bum. Bullshit. Oh, my bum.
And saying that,
Alex Totten almost got us relegated. I love Alex, but he almost got us relegated.
Almost.
We'd have got relegated if Airdrie hadn't went.
Aye, who got you to that Scottish Cup final in 1997?
Alex Totten, but Ken McAllister played an integral part.
But you get beat.
I know, listen, but still, anyway, Ken McAllister rightfully has
there
a standing.
There are levels to this
him.
Game, and Falkirk's level is shit. Much lower. It's done beside Raith Rovers.
I hope Val's not listening. I hope Val's not listening. I'll be in the paper some more.
I don't think Val will be
Dale
listening.
Dale Slaughter.
Raith Rovers legend, Slaughter's Scottish author.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry, Val.
And saying that, there's only a Jockstein lounge at Dunfermline, despite the fact he won the Scottish Cup in 1960.
But they're a Jockstein stand at Celtic Park.
Yeah, because he achieved more at Celtic, I would say.
I think you'll get it when you die, Daz. I think you'll be fine.
Stick it right up there.
You'll be dead by that time. Yes, anyway, let's move on. And I think we've got some transfer news to get to.
Oh, no. Are we getting Jimbo on the phone? You've no idea.
Well,
criticism I got for
John,
this.
You, what's going on through there? Are you sweating to death?
No, sorry, Ryan, the Breakfast Show producers just came in.
Tell me, bugger off, we're trying to record a podcast.
Ryan, bugger off.
I'm not doing it.
Stop distracting him. He's easily distracted when he's concentrating on stuff.
Alright, okay. What do you want me to do?
Well, we need to go through some transfer news.
All right,
let's get Jim on. Here we go.
I've been hanging around for ages, John. What have you been doing? Honestly, you've been sweating like a big octopus through there. Anyway, Celtic interested in Lorient striker Mohamed Bamba, 27. Sources in France indicate Celtic are in talks over a loan move.
Oh,
they need that striker, don't they?
That'd be a song, wouldn't it? Na-na-na-na-na, Bamba.
La Bamba, remember that? That one of your karaoke classics?
Bamba.
Celtic's move for Hapoel Peters, Tivka... It's a guy called Jocelyn. He's 20-year-old and he's got an injury, so it's no happening. Rangers are in contention to sign Wolfsburg winger Andros Skov Olsen, 26 years old. He's having talks. Rangers and Wolfsburg, it looks like a loan deal. What do you make of that one? He into Andros Skov Olsen?
I don't know a lot about him, but I think the transfer market's important, Jim.
It absolutely is. And Neil Ferrugia, 26, is a target for Dundee United. He's played. Have you ever been to Barnsley before?
Yes, I've been to Barnsley before.
What do you make of Barnsley?
Oh, Barnsley's a shithole.
It's an absolute shithole, isn't it? Nobody wants to be in Barnsley. So there we are. That's your transfer update. Right, say goodbye to Jim.
Cheers, Jim. Nice speaking to you again.
And there he goes, there's Jim White. He just pops in for the
That's my favourite bit of this podcast now.
Right, let's get on to the weekend's football then. And let's start on Saturday. Martin O'Neill's return to the dugout. 4-0 it was against Dundee United. 22 shots on goal, 78% possession. What's Martin O'Neill done that Wilfred Nancy couldn't do?
You can argue he changed the formation back to back four. I said this last week, right? Remember I said last week, if you're Wilfred Nancy and all the stats are out there now, you look, I play a back three, I played eight games, lost 18 goals. Yeah. Right? The manager before me played a back four, he played seven games, lost two goals. The manager now comes back into the building, plays a back four, hey-ho, they got a clean sheet. It's not rocket science, is it?
No, it's not. Would it be fair to say that in front of goal, Wilfred Nancy was a bit unlucky in terms of like, you know, there was a couple of goals at the weekend that just fell to Celtic strike. If I'm thinking Negrin and Maeda, they both just fell to them and they couldn't miss. That was wee bits of luck that Nancy wasn't getting. But you make your own luck in this game.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I do feel for him in that sort of a circumstances, Stephen. Yeah, but I think the difference is Martin O'Neill is such a great man manager. I think he has that sort of a, he puts that feeling into you, you're relaxed, everything about you. And I think the players took that onto the pitch.
Is that sometimes all that's needed?
Yeah, because you see the way they started it. The stats were incredible. The possession stats was through the roof. Dundee United couldn't have got a kick of the ball. So all of a sudden, if you're playing in that, you're into that formation that everybody knows, everybody's singing off the same hymn sheet. You know you're confident, you're relaxed. Give me the ball, I'm going to put it in the back of net. I totally agree. I think if you're Wilfred Nancy, you're sitting there in America or wherever he is thinking, oh, why could you not put the ball in the back of net like that for me?
Yeah.
But it's a whole picture, isn't it?
Totally. Thing. There was a good bit with Stephen McGowan in the Herald, actually. I saw it and it was like a behind the scenes what happened in Wilfred Nancy's 33 days at Celtic. And there was a lot of suggestion that, you know, the training wasn't up to standard. Mm-hmm. It was academy level, that's what they said. He also said that he was pulling up James Forrest to try and explain really simple things to him.
In the boxes.
Yeah.
It's a warm-up exercise. No, I don't think any other manager would get involved in a warm-up box. It's most, and plus the fact, most decorated guy, and you're telling him his body position. Look, it's okay. Everybody can start nitpicking now he's away. Oh, he wore the wrong shoes, his jumper didn't fit him, all that shit that goes with it, right? I can't be bothered with that. The difference now is they've got Martin O'Neill in the building, coaching staff, everybody's singing off the same hymn sheet. They got off to a brilliant result at the weekend there and probably should have been more than four.
Here, Yang, he's probably the one person who's come out the Wilfred Nancy sort of like, you know, few games with any sort of credit whatsoever. Scored again the weekend, decent goal. Looks like he's turning into a better player.
He's on fire. Look, since day one, I know Shug always had a real go at him. And rightly so at times, but day one, I always looked up and I thought, if you're more positive, there's something in you. I always thought he was negative, Stephen, right? So I thought, go be positive, get at people. You've got good pace, everything about you. He's doing that. He's getting the goals. Got a great goal against Rangers as well. Got a good goal at the weekend. If I'm honest, if Celtic want to go the next level again, I think they can get better than Yang. But take nothing away from the guy. He's been really, really good, and I think he'll only get better under Martin O'Neill.
Dundee United haven't won at Parkhead since 1992, and they'll have been just gone, oh no, why could they have not just kept Nancy for one more game?
Yeah, everybody would be saying the same, wouldn't they? It was a perfect fit for Celtic. I think the two games that fell into Martin O'Neill's lap has been the perfect fit. I think Falkirk away from home will be difficult.
Yeah, high-flying Falkirk.
Yeah, and Kevin McAllister's stand will be full.
Yeah, will be, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but everyone will just be talking about Kevin McAllister.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder how the Alec Totten's lounge will be.
It'll be busy.
Yeah, but I've got to say, I think it was a good game for Celtic, wasn't it? Dundee United are a bit not in form just now. Bit off.
Two defeats. But before that, there were five unbeaten. But two defeats in the last two.
Yeah, yeah. But you're going to Celtic Park, Martin O'Neill's coming in the building, and all of a sudden, are you going to have a heart attack?
Right.
John, do us a favour. Phone 999, would you? Jim White's a. But get Jim White back on the phone.
Yeah, Jim.
This guy is struggling. No,
he's not done dry January, that's for sure.
It's nothing to do with that. It'd probably help me.
I feel your pain. I was like that. But I've got to say, it was a good start for Celtic, bad start for Dundee United.
Yes, elsewhere on Saturday, one of the games of the day, it was Hibs 1, Motherwell 1. It's really no good for either of them, because it slips them just that wee bit further behind, obviously, with the top three winning. Bowie, back on form though, at Hibs, looks
like. Scoring goals, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's sort of looked at that World Cup squad.
I was going to say, like, there's such an incentive for guys like Kieran Bowie now, because he'll be looking at that World Cup squad and saying, I need that plane.
Yeah, the only way he's got to get in the plane is putting the ball in the back of the net. And he's certainly starting to do that. And he's getting spoke about in the January window as well. I think Hibs would be a bit disappointed if they had to lose him. It would take a lot of money, let me say that.
Yeah.
But, put the ball in the back of the net. Do you know what I loved about Hibs and Motherwell at the weekend? And this is where I think we get lost in football. Full house, the reason why, Fiver again. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And it's great incentives. Motherwell do it as well. Other clubs do it as well. It's a time of year where we just get Christmas by. A lot of people struggling financially. It's brilliant to see. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, just looking at Easter Road as well, it's great to see the Pat Stanton stand very full, obviously named after a club legend, rightly as well.
Which other stand there?
The famous five stand. Named after the famous five as well. So Pat Stanton, I think it was only last summer, actually. I think he got named. I think Pat Stanton
was one of the best football players I've ever seen. He's fantastic. What a player he was.
Well, he's got a stand named after
him.
That's what proper clubs do, don't they?
There's a perfect example. The famous five, right?
Yeah.
Why not have Raith Rovers the stand named after the cup final team? And
the Coca-Cola cup stand.
There you go.
There you are.
There you go.
Then everybody
shares in the glory.
Then Julian Brodel
gets in.
He gets in.
Yeah.
He gets in.
Yeah, he's in Spain, so he's not listening.
He's in Spain.
He lives in Spain.
Oh, does he? Right. Yeah. I when I was looking through the team there, obviously I recognise most of them. I don't recognise Julian Brodel. What was his sort of chat? Who else did he play with?
Oh, he played with about 20 odd clubs. Do you know something? he the worst sort of career in the world.
Played with St Mirren.
He was duck shit, and he sold a book, right? And people actually bought it. He went into the police. He was a policeman.
Right.
By the way, imagine him fucking chasing you. See if you run down the...
Well, I can't imagine, because I don't know what this person looks
well,
like.
Let me explain it in one. Right. See if you stole a telly out of Curry's and you're running down the street and you turn round and you see him chasing you. Yep. You're not putting the telly down, mate. You just keep running with the telly. He'll never fucking catch you.
Right, okay.
Right, so that sums Julian up.
Right,
great
okay.
guy.
But a great guy, Julian, the Julian Brodel stand. A win for Falkirk at St Mirren. We'll get to Falkirk in just a wee second. But St Mirren, only two league wins in the last 14, and they are mega struggling. They are mega, mega struggling. They're only 4 points away from the relegation playoffs.
Got a few games in hand.
And
I know you've got to win them.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. I'm a bit surprised about that. I really am. But see if you see their form before the cup final as well, after they beat Motherwell.
It wasn't great.
They took a big dip as well.
Yeah.
So then they got up for the cup final. They've won the cup final, deservedly so. They were brilliant. And they've taken that dip again. He needs to get them back on track.
Falkirk, John?
We were brilliant. I mean, Simon, in fairness to them, they've had a lot of injury problems. I've seen Stephen Robinson obviously came out, and then that was at the weekend that Shamal George went off.
Is there any end to Falkirk's good fortune?
Did they ever
play a full strength team?
We played full strength Rangers teams and drew with them this season.
Oh, Russell Martin Rangers team.
Aberdeen haven't beaten us this season. Motherwell haven't beaten us this season.
Aberdeen, when Jimmy Tilley Aberdeen got sacked. Aberdeen, when they got a man sent off in
Motherwell
the first half.
Motherwell haven't beat us.
I mean, just a joke, man.
John, tell me, what about the quality of goals?
Oh, brilliant.
I really liked him.
What a finish from Finn Yeats. He's a guy that's been on the League One journey. You know, he was freed from Aberdeen. We took him in League One. And to see him in the Premiership scoring a goal like that, it was a great finish from him. Calvin Miller as well, another one that's been on that journey.
Yeah.
Set up by Finn Yeats, and a great finish from him. And it's like, I mean, I think a lot of pundits over the weekend have been kind of lamenting, you know, 2-3 years ago we were drawn 2-2 at Edinburgh City, and then that's us beating St Mirren 2-0 away from home. And
you should have lost that game against Edinburgh City, by
we
the
should,
way
that
well.
Was when Cole Donaldson died.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was a joke.
That was one.
So the good fortune has continued for all those years.
I can't believe you even remember
don't
that.
Don't think I've forgotten about that.
I can't believe you even remember that. But no, I think two more wins and we're safe.
John, I had you relegated, but
I know you did that.
But do you know what? Sometimes you've just got to eat humble pie. Yous have been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. I think the game against Celtic on Wednesday will be interesting. It'll be interesting because, like,
all the Celtic players, their feet will fall off or something like that. And then, we just need to play what's in front of us. You know?
That's it. That's all you can do. But six on the table is brilliant, and you know we're way ahead of where we should be. So great news, and it's great to be a Falkirk supporter at the moment, that's all I'll say.
Elsewhere, let's get to the games yesterday, and it was Dundee 0, Hearts 1. Me and my mates were chatting about this on Saturday, and we were just like, this is an absolute must win for Hearts.
What's your thoughts on the goal? If I'm Dundee, I'm raging at that.
If you're Dundee, you're raging.
Yeah, but I know I heard all the pundits talking about, oh, you've got to switch on. Yeah, I agree you've got to switch on. But if you're taking it for fucking 15 yards forward, then I'm sorry.
By the way, Dundee are going to be fine. And I'm actually really...
100%.
I'm actually really pleased for Stephen Presley. I know, like, even on this podcast, a lot of other places as well, we were like, oh, he'll not see the end of August because he was that sort of, you know, divisive appointment, to put it mildly. But he's... I think they looked decent yesterday. Fair enough, they were playing against 10 men for the second half, and they didn't test Craig Gordon all that much, apart from one of the best saves I've ever seen, which we'll get to in a second. But I think Dundee are going to be totally fine.
I agree. I've said it for day one. I think they've got enough in their locker. They're an up and down team, aren't they?
But three wins in a row before then, and the reason I really fancied Hearts yesterday anyway was because like three wins in a row is great, four wins in a row is tough in the top flight. So I think Dundee will be fine. I'm actually pretty pleased for Stephen Presley from what I hear from people behind the scenes as well. He seems to be a nice guy. I've met him a couple of times. Nice guy. So I'm pleased that I think Dundee will be fine. However, Hearts, massive 3 points. And Craig Gordon, that save, I can't think of many better than that, to be honest with you.
It's one of the best saves I've ever seen. I thought that ball was in the back of the net.
Yeah, I think everyone did, yeah.
Right, I've got to say, and for the fact that he's not played a lot of football.
Well, he's 42.
No, he's 43, I think.
Is he not 43 in the summer? I think he might be 43. Right, okay. 42, 43.
Right.
So he's old. He came on as a sub.
Trub.
He didn't actually have a lot to do in the second half at all. We didn't really have
He had an early save from the free kick.
From the free kick.
Which you expect him to save.
Exactly, it was right at him. But apart from that, he didn't really have a lot to do at all. And then that's the sort of save that wins you games, and if you're looking at Hearts in the context of the entire season, could win you titles.
Do you know something? That's the kind of save that you go, he must be our number one goalkeeper, whether he plays or not in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Right, because it shows you that he must be doing that day in, day out of training. He's keeping himself as fit as he's probably ever been. He's looking after himself. I'm telling you now, you could see the reaction of the players, his own players. That was out of this world. Do you know what it reminds me a little bit, and probably before a lot of people's time, if you see Pelly's header against Gordon Banks, you know what I mean?
It was like that, but better. Like,
you think to this day, I don't know how he got that. Magnificent. One of the best saves I've ever seen. Magnificent save. I can't speak highly enough of him. Brilliant for him.
And that's the thing, obviously, like, you know, we'll get to VAR WTF in just a wee second. So he came in from the cold. He hasn't played apart from last time he played was the Scotland-Denmark game. I just think that he's had such an incredible career, both ups and downs, Craig Gordon, because he's probably thought that he's been retired about three times, mm-hmm. and each time he's come back, mind he broke his leg a couple of years ago as well, and everyone was like, oh, that'll be him finished then. And then he retired for the Scotland squad before the Euros a couple of years ago as well. I just think he's, like, when they look back on Craig Gordon's career, what a book. Val McDermott could write that and it would sell a million copies.
Get her name off that stand and get her back into it. But I've got to say, do you know who I think takes a massive bit of credit for us? Right, yesterday, this could be the real game changer for Hearts. The manager, right? And I'll tell you the reason why. Craig Gordon has got his eyes on the World Cup, being number one. He has to play, people say, you have to go out and loan and play.
Yeah.
Derek McInnes must have had that conversation with Craig Gordon, and it must have been a very difficult one to turn around and say, no, you're staying here. I don't care about the World Cup. We want to win the league. We need you here. You will be the number two. Because let me say, and I'm not being disrespectful to any other goalkeeper, nobody else is saving it. I don't see a goalkeeper that Hearts could have. So, I don't even think they're number one with the save.
What would you do now? Would you, obviously, Shwolov is suspended for the next mm-hmm. game. Gordon will play.
Yeah.
Would you keep Gordon in goals now?
It's a difficult one. It's a great headache, right? But your number one goalkeeper gets sent off, unfortunately. But Craig Gordon, depends what he does in the next game. But for Derek McInnes to have that conversation with Craig Gordon, with what's at stake for Craig Gordon at his age, because it would have been very easy for a manager to say, look, you've been brilliant for this club, we would love you to get to the World Cup, yeah, you're a number two, on you go, go somewhere else and play week in, week out. That was a massive decision from Derek.
Yeah.
Right? And it's
unless he's going to play like Craig Gordon in the Scottish Cup, for example, like
he probably will. He probably will. Listen, Craig Gordon could now go and stake a claim for number one.
Yeah.
He could next game. He could be out of this world. But I've got to say, everybody will be talking about that today.
Yeah, huge 3 points for Hearts at Dens Park. And Rangers are right back in it. It was a really comfortable 2-0 win against Aberdeen. Aberdeen were awful. Rangers were pretty decent. Still not outstanding, but I thought Rangers fully deserved the victory. I mean, I think no complaints about the penalty. Again, we'll get to that in just a wee second. Asgard, good finish mm-hmm. for the first goal. And Rangers hadn't won at Pittodrie for, what, 3 seasons or something like that?
Hard place to go. Doesn't matter how bad Aberdeen are. And from years gone by, even when I was at Rangers, you used to dread going to Pittodrie. But we do say Aberdeen. I thought Aberdeen were a lot better.
Aberdeen have lost 4 on the spin.
Yeah, but I thought Aberdeen were a lot better yesterday than I've seen them for a while, right?
Mm.
I did, because...
I don't know. First half,
yeah,
maybe.
I think Aberdeen have been dreadful every time I've watched them, right? But I thought they did a wee bit. Don't get me wrong. I think Aberdeen have lost identity of their club, I think. I don't know what it is. I just look and I think... That's not really an Aberdeen sort of side.
I think there are big problems at Aberdeen. I'm not sure about this new director of football.
Right, okay.
At all. And I think there's a few people who share my opinion who are in and around Aberdeen as well. I think this might be teetering on the brink of...
disasters.
A banter period for Aberdeen, to be perfectly honest with you, because I think this looks like a shambles here set up. I think Jimmy Tilleen, as much as... he probably had to go. He was probably looking at this and going, mm-hmm. I'm out. Like, he was probably quite glad that he got sacked, I think.
Just get that look about it, innit?
I'm not, if I'm an Aberdeen fan, I'm not positive looking at this at all, to be honest with you. Said it might take 90 days to get a new manager in. Between 30 and 90 days they want to take.
It's incredible, innit?
What are you doing?
I know, exactly. What are you doing?
And the thing is, what they should do, I think, is just put Peter Leaven in charge to the end of the season. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And then go for the Motherwell manager in the summer.
Motherwell manager on the touch up. He's too big for it.
I think...
he's getting big. He's getting better than that. Not a chance is he going to Aberdeen. And I'm not being disrespectful to Aberdeen.
In normal...
Aberdeen's a shambles just now.
But that's what I mean. That's what right. I mean. Like,
He ain't going there. He ain't going there, mate. I'm telling you now. I don't
Aberdeen
care
Aberdeen are a bigger
say.
Club than Motherwell.
I totally agree with that. But let me tell you now, he'll go to a bigger club than Aberdeen.
Right.
Right?
Okay, fair enough. He might go to the Championship or something down south.
Yeah, listen, here's one for you. Would if he keeps going the way he's going, Would, if Martin O'Neill left, would Celtic look at him? Because could you imagine with the players at his disposal of Celtic's quality, the football he plays?
But again,
I know it's a big step up.
It's a step up. And you've got to remember what Motherwell took a wee bit to get going at the start of this season. The signs were there. The signs were positive.
Yeah.
But what was it, like 8 matches or something before the first
one? Look at the squad he's walked into and it takes
totally,
time.
Totally.
Takes time. But he's walking into an international squad.
But it'll take time to adjust, to get all those players to adjust as well.
Right, but if he gets a pre-season.
Yeah. I know, but he had a pre-season at Motherwell.
Seeing Europe and the quality of player that he's got.
And he'll have potentially Champions League qualifiers straight away.
See at the beginning when Motherwell, to be fair to him, he had two full-backs playing the centre-halves because his injuries and everything.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I'm not being down on him at all. But what I'm trying to say is, I think it's a big step up and he's not going to get... He's going to have to start straight away. Say Celtic go on and win the league. Mm-hmm. They'll have a Champions League qualifier to play in, or a couple to play in July. Huge games. And if he's still trying to implement his new system and he gets pumped out, pressure's on already.
They guys are clever enough to play, no problem. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying he's got to be a Celtic manager. I think he's going to go to big, big things, this guy, right? Okay. I really do, because I think his reputation is growing and growing. Everybody loves the football. Motherwell are getting 8,000 now, home crowds. But what I will say, I don't think there's any possibility he's going to Aberdeen.
So what are Aberdeen doing then?
I think Aberdeen will go down the form route again.
Well, they have said that they would like somebody with Scottish experience.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would go and get the St Mirren manager.
Yeah.
I think he'd do a terrific job up there. But is that sexy enough for Aberdeen? Because you're right, Aberdeen are a big club. They've got fantastic support. You look at their away support as well. They go in large numbers. As a good club as well. So it's a difficult one. It really is. But I think Aberdeen need to go back to drawing board for me.
Rangers up to second then. Obviously, they've got a game in hand. Celtic got a game in hand over Rangers, which is Falkirk during the week. Rangers are right back in this, and they've obviously made a couple of signings as well over the past couple of days. £7 million, there's obviously money to spend there.
Big time. They're back in this big time.
And do you think, you know, what do they need to win the title?
I honestly think they need another centre-forward in. I really do. I think if they can get rid of Danilo.
Yeah.
And bring someone in. Chermiti, I watched him yesterday again. I think he does his job now. He's working hard for the team. He's become a team player. I know he got 2 goals against Celtic. Majovski is the same. He comes on, does his stuff. I think they just need that killer instinct. I think they need somebody that's just going to...
Here's a question
for
you.
Ball in the back of net every chance.
If Rangers still had Cyril Dessers...
Oh, I'd fancy him big time. I think Desser, I was amazed. I can understand that maybe Desser's wanted to go. We don't know, right? But if Desser's didn't want to go, I think that was the worst bit of business ever. Desser scored you 50 goals in two seasons, over 50 goals. He was 25 a season. Could you imagine Rangers right now with 25 goal?
He's only played 8 times for Panathinaikos this season. He's only scored 3 goals. He's only played 8 games.
Right, and he scored 3 goals.
Yeah.
But... my thing is, he was suited to Scottish football. It doesn't matter where you go.
No, totally.
My point is
he's only played 8 times this
right,
season.
Right. My truly belief is that if Kyogo came to Celtic, he'd bang goals. And yet, okay, he scored at the weekend for Birmingham in the FA Cup, but he hardly scored. Did he score at Rennes? And then he's hardly scored at Birmingham. He's hardly scored a goal in 2 clubs.
Yeah.
But I think if he came to Celtic Park, I think he'd bang goals in.
Yeah. I'm just reading here that he's out injured.
Who?
Dessers.
Yeah. Oh, they're not going to bring Dessers back.
No, I know. And he's away. He's been at the African Cup of Nations with Nigeria. But yeah, it looks like he's going to be out for 12 weeks. So
January is so exciting, isn't it? I'm loving our league just now.
Yeah, listen, it's
top and bottom.
A 3-way shootout for the title, I think. Yeah. Are we discounting Motherwell and Hibs now?
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I'd love to.
Do you think they'll... So that's going to be the top 5. I think, you know, Falkirk are obviously doing well just now in the top 6, but you'd expect Dundee United and Aberdeen to sort of be there or thereabouts.
I don't think Aberdeen will be. I don't see...
Well, Dundee United then. Someone, please. But Hibs and Motherwell are still capable, as we've seen over the last wee while, of taking points off of Celtic, Rangers and Hearts.
They'll have a big say who gets the title. Especially against Motherwell, because you look at Motherwell at Fir Park just now, 6-7 clean sheets.
Yeah.
Nobody likes going there. No. Nobody likes going to Easter Road as well.
Falkirk St Mirren during the week, as we mentioned, and Hearts St Mirren also on Wednesday night at Tynecastle. Scottish Cup next weekend. We'll get to that just shortly. In the Championship, a couple of matches postponed, but Ross County finally winning on Friday night against Partick Thistle by 2-0. Couple of early goals. Jay
early
Henderson,
goals.
Yeah.
First one was about 19 seconds.
Exactly. The second one was about, what, 10 minutes or something like that.
I don't think Mark was in the dugout.
I don't think so. Partick Thistle, we did mention this last week, that's only one win in the last six. So they have been wobbling a bit over the last wee while. But County do have decent players. Ronan Hale has put in a transfer request, though, to force through his dream move to Gillingham. And that's genuinely, I'm not making that up. That's what he's doing. So they'll lose Ronan Hale, who's going to be a big loss for them. But mm-hmm. do you think County have got enough now with Stuart Kettlewell and that squad to stay up? They're only 2 points away from, they're 4 points away from complete safety.
Yeah, that was a good result because Partick have went up there a couple of times and turned them over.
Yeah.
So they needed a result. They were under severe pressure. It was a good start, good, because Partick are a right good side. They're sitting there second. Yeah, I think if you look at the squad, if you can get a tune out of them, they're certainly good enough to stay in the Championship. Let's be honest about it. And I think that's just the target now. Stay in that Championship.
St Johnson's match was off. Dunfermline at Morton was off as well due to the weather. 1-1 between Ayr United and Airdrie, so really no good for either side. Although Airdrie, 3 draws in a row for them. Ayr United, 2 draws in a row for them as well. I tell you what, I know St Johnstone having a cracking season, and St Johnstone are going to win the league. They're the best team in the league. But Arbroath, in terms of the season that they're having, are unbelievable. I think it's been a great story. Went to Starks Park in front of that former Val McDermott stand and won by 3-2. And I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs. Like, they've got 36 points. They're 10 points, safe in the playoffs. Ahead of Dunfermline. Dunfermline do have a couple of games in hand over them, but I think that, like, that's a great story that's happening at Arbroath, because obviously they nearly won the league under Dick Campbell a few years ago. Took it down to the final day. Derek McInnes obviously took over at Kilmarnock. They ended up winning. But Arbroath are just, I think, a very, very well run club. And they're still part time, which means that sometimes comes with advantages.
Yes,
when you're
does.
The top part-time team, you can get all the best part-time players, because you know a lot of football players have decent jobs and stuff like that as well and don't want to play full-time, and they're taking advantage of that, and I think they're having an amazing season.
Yeah, you can't speak highly enough of them. They've been absolutely brilliant. You're right, Dick Campbell done a terrific job as well with them, and you look at them now, as you say, part-time. they are able to attract the best players that want to stay part-time or go part-time. And I think that's...
Is that sometimes a wee advantage?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. And you look at the squad, they've got good players, good experienced guys that know how to play in this league. Arbroath, everybody will tell you, it's the one fixture you look and think, oh, just get this over with, especially if it's windy. It's a worst place, one of the worst places in the world to go and play football. But they're going away from home. I think they were 2-0 up, and then Wraith pegged them back
yeah.
And then showed you they've got that bit of character. So all credit to them, brilliant for them. Listen, they get in the playoffs, let's not be kidding, they'll be a danger.
Yeah, absolutely. That was it for the Championship this weekend. Couple of games off in League One as well. Alloa Montrose and Peterhead Hamilton both off. Goalless between Cove Rangers and Inverness, and that allowed Stenhouse Muir to take advantage at the top of the table. Now they've played 2 more games in Inverness, they're 3 points clear, but they absolutely thumped East Fife by 5-0. I actually watched Dick Campbell's interview, it popped up on my feed last night.
That'd be good.
Not a happy bunny.
Dick, that's a surprise.
I know, not very happy at all. East Fife, that's 3 defeats on the spin for them, and they're slipping down the table. I mean, they're going to be fine, But obviously, he'll have ambitions of getting back up into the playoffs. I think he was saying, you know, like 5 or 6 games ago, they were only 1 point off his second, and now they're, you know, 25 points, they're 9 points behind. Queen of the South beat Kelty by 3-1. Queen of the South are on a pretty decent run. They lost last week, but before that, they won 3 in a row. So that's 4 wins at the last 5 for Queen of the South, and they're only 3 points off the top as well. So interesting in League One. League One's a decent league this year. I think there's not much between a lot of the teams. So it's going to be fairly tight. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. In League Two, only 2 matches surviving at the weekend due to the weather. And Stirling Albion went to Edinburgh City and won by 4-1. Cracking result for them. And it was 2-2 between Forfar and Stranraer. Edinburgh City remain bottom. Spartans, the Spartans, as we all call them, are top of the table. They're 8 points clear from East Kilbride. Right, let's do some refereeing decisions then, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, Celtic, Dundee United, Hibs, Motherwell, nothing much happening there. Livingston versus Kilmarnock. Neil McCann was not a happy boy after the game. Cabanglo, are we saying it like that? Should he have got a second yellow card?
Come on, 100%.
3 fouls in 5 minutes.
100%. And I'm sorry, I think the days of my playing career when the centre half was allowed, oh, first tackle ref, okay, it's the first 5 minutes, you're fine. But the proof is there, isn't it? David Martindale couldn't get him off the pitch quick enough because he knew how lucky.
It's so frustrating. See, if you're a Kilmarnock fan, you're so frustrated with that because you know that's why he's taking him off.
100%.
And it's that way where, like, that says it all. There is that thing where, now, I'm just playing devil's advocate a wee bit here, and I mentioned this about David Watson sending off for Kilmarnock a couple of weeks ago. Were the other fouls yellow cards? Were they actually, or was it just because the accumulation of fouls?
Accumulation, you've got to, and especially in as early as that. Look, I don't know what was, he must have been wound up so much.
Like, and it's this way where, like, you want a, you know, a sending off obviously changes completely the complexion of a match. And I think referees should probably err on the side of, let's try and no send people off if we don't want to, because we want to try and make it like. But if you're a Kilmarnock fan, then you're like, well, that's fine, but don't start it at this game and at least make it consistent throughout the season.
Look, I'm all for a referee trying to keep 11v11 on the pitch as long as he possibly can. I'm all for it. I sometimes don't like the rules. I think sometimes the yellow cards should never be yellow cards because it's a contact sport. We all know that. But the game's changed in so many ways now. But it's written all over it, isn't it? You know what I mean? If it's okay if it gets a yellow and then gets a foul the next one. The referee actually pulls over a captain.
I know, exactly. So he knows.
Come on. If I'm David Martindale, I am over the moon with the referee's performance. If I'm Neil McCann, I'm honestly.
Dave Martindale wasn't. He was absolutely moaning his chops off afterwards because he thought that Livingston should have a penalty for the handball with Brad Lyons. Was that a penalty? Hit his arm.
No, I don't think that was a penalty, do you? Saying that, right, we could sit here every Monday and go, I don't think that was a penalty, but
there's been so many handballs this season where I'm like, I don't think that's a penalty, and it's been given. And then I saw that on Saturday and I was like, well, why is that not been given?
Yeah.
So I can totally understand why David Martindale was raging after the game. However, I think all things being equal,
he got away.
They got away with one with the sending off.
Yeah.
And yeah, they should have had a penalty, but
inconsistency,
you know.
That's what the problem is with managers.
Handball against Mandron, checked for a potential penalty, John, at the St Mirren Falkirk game.
I don't think he could do much with his hands.
No, I agree, John.
It was almost like he caught it, but his hands were tucked in, so fair enough.
Dundee Hearts, obviously, Schwallow was sent off. I think, you know, they thought it was offside initially, and then
see the beginning. I thought the first phase was offside when he comes from behind.
Yeah,
I looked and I thought, oh, they've given it for that. Because I looked and I thought that when
he obviously wasn't, though, because they surely would have checked that.
Yeah, I know. It was a surprising one.
But in terms of the actual foul, it was a foul and a red card.
Correct decision, yeah, unfortunately for Hearts. Yeah. The only thing I would be a little bit annoyed if I was Elvis was where that free kick was taken from. I think if it was against Hearts, and by the way, all credit to Hearts, they took advantage of it, right? And brilliantly so. Great finish by Braga. But if I'm Elvis, I'm a bit a bit annoyed about that.
Aberdeen Rangers, the penalty. Oh, Shinny catches him. It's a penalty.
Yeah.
I think Gassama makes a bit of a melee, but he's caught him and he's...
See, at first I thought he dived, right?
Yeah.
I had to go for a replay when I seen the knee.
Because his reaction.
Yeah, and then I seen the knee. Yeah.
And he did catch him. And Shinny didn't even complain.
No.
You know, so Shinny knew. So it was a penalty. But the big talking point was Fernandez, his goal getting chopped off for a foul on Mitov. Now, we spoke about this before we came on air. And I think we might be the only two people who think it was probably a foul.
It's the right decision, right? And by the way, I'm telling you now, goalkeepers, he's having a shocker just now.
Yeah.
Right? Goalkeepers get away with so much, it's unbelievable. When I watched it in real time, I thought, oh, he's claiming for the usual goalkeeper. Oh, it's a foul, ref, right? When you watch it a few times, Fernandez, yes, I agree, everybody's got to use their arms to jump, but you can see his arm just impedes
Mitov's arm
to get higher, right? He's lucky, the goalkeeper. I hate it. I hate the fact that goalkeepers get away with so much. But if I'm honest, I think that's the correct decision.
I think once it went to VAR, which it would have done anyway because it was a goal and they check all the goals, I think that they were never not going to give a foul for that because of the reasons that you've just explained. Because yes, Fernandez jumps and yes, he has to use his arms when he jumps, but his arm stops Mitov's hand coming up to get the ball, and that was never not going to... They were never not going to give that as a foul.
No. As I say, I'm not a goalkeeping fan, but I think they came to the right decision. I really do. I really think that they got that right.
Okay. Right, there it is. Refereeing decisions all done and dusted for the weekend. Another mixed bag. Let's do some Who Dares Wins then, shall we? So it's myself and Gordon DL. We'll bid against each other. And we just need the topic. Who's it to bid first this week,
John? That's the bid first.
That's the bid first. Right, okay.
What's your topic, John?
The topic, because we're in the transfer markets, transfer season. We should get Jim back on for this one. He'll know all the answers. So basically, there's 19 players in the world who have moved for more than 100 million euros, because it's how they do it on Transfermarkt. How many can you name? So according to Transfermarkt, 19 players have moved over for 100 million euros. How many can you name, Gordon DL?
Can we have that pounds and pens?
No, it's euros. It's done in euros. So
right, I'll go five.
Five.
Oh, you'll get more than that.
Even.
Oh, I'm going low.
I'll go eight.
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 Yeah. You sure?
I'll go 12. Ten. Ten. Ten.
I thought he was going boss in there.
I'll go 10.
I'll go 11.
11.
Oh, he's trying
11 and 12. He's still got 11 in him, I don't know.
Easy.
I'll go 12 then.
You can go 5.
He's no chance got 11 in him.
Fucking no chance.
Did you not know, like a
No chance.
No, you're okay, Daz. Right, okay. So you've got 19.
How many did
Daz.
I say?
You said you could do 12.
Oh, blew so my bolt here.
There's 19. Daz, best of luck to you. Go for it.
Well, start with the big hitters.
Yeah.
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo is correct. Moved from, is it Real Madrid to Juventus, I think it was. So, yeah. That
are you double check that?
Yeah. Definitely. He's on the list. 13th on the list. 117 million euros in the 18-19 season, moving to Juventus. And I think that was from Real Madrid, wasn't it?
It would have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Mbappe.
Mbappe, yeah.
Mbappe,
number two on the list, moving to PSG from...
I'm trying to think of the big hitters. Neymar.
Neymar, number one when he moved to PSG. Still the highest transfer record.
Pogba?
Yep. So I've got
Pogba, moving to Man United from Juventus,
Right.
Four down.
Is Jude Bellingham one?
Jude Bellingham... is one. There you go. Obviously, Real Madrid from
back. West Ham to Arsenal. Declan Rice must be one.
Declan Rice, that's some shout.
Yeah,
and he is one.
I've got another one in English.
He is one. 116 million euros. There you go.
Jack Grealish.
Grealish. very good shout.
Oh, I'm shitting myself now.
Is he in the top 10? No, he's just outside the top 10, number 12, 117 million euros when he moved to Man City.
Many have I got there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
There's two.
Five more to go, Daz.
Oh, no.
There's two that I've got that you haven't got so far.
I think I know the two you'll have.
Is Gareth Bale?
Gareth Bale.
Ooh.
Justin by a boy here. He is 18. He is 18. Is that the one you had, Stephen?
No.
18.
I think all the top players.
Four more.
Four.
I've got four.
Have you got four?
So you dug it 12.
I've got four definites.
You dug it 12.
Yeah.
Would you have got Bale?
No, I wouldn't have said Bale. I would have got the rest of them though.
Right.
Griezmann.
Oh, that's a shout.
Who did he move to?
Well, that's not the question.
I know.
Was it presumably to either Atletico or Barcelona?
He's in there. Number 11, Barcelona.
Sure, there's another.
Come on, Daz, three more.
Three?
You've got three in you.
Have I?
Yeah, I think you've got three in you. I think you've got three.
Dembele.
Usman Dembele to Barcelona is correct. 17-18 season.
I'm fucking struggling. I don't know if it was. Is it €100 million?
€100 million. So you've got to do the conversion rate in your head.
Did Liverpool sign? Is it Isaac from Newcastle for that sort of money? Isaac,
you going for that?
Yeah.
Spot on. He's biggest transfer in England. Yep.
€145 million.
Two.
Hold on. Is that two? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. One more.
One more.
All we need one more.
I've got three that you can
have. You give us one then. since when, John?
Just ever.
Who's a big money signing?
I mean, you've got the oldest on. Yeah, I've got the oldest on there, yeah.
Right, I'm looking.
Pressure's on now, though. This is it.
Chelsea signed a lot of big players, didn't they? Chelsea spent loads of money going out. I'm not going Drogba, right? But was he involved in it?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh!
He's got it.
Hazard!
Eden Hazard.
Yeah! Right!
Moving to the Almonds Red from Chelsea.
Was Pod by one?
What's that?
Drogba, you mean? No,
Drogba was not.
The ones I've got written down, Enzo Fernandez.
Yeah.
Oh, never.
Moses Caicedo.
Yeah, he said Chelsea again.
Florian Wirtz.
Yeah, Florian Wirtz to Liverpool this season.
And then I was out, so I would.
Would you get 12? No bother.
I think I would have got 12.
Right, number five on the list.
Give us the teams. And then we'll
Liverpool to Barcelona.
Oh, Firmino.
No.
The other one.
Coutinho.
Yeah, that's it.
This one is a bit tougher, I think, because Spanish, I can't remember where he moved from. Moved to Atletico Madrid in the 1920 season.
This is the one I was thinking of, and I can't mind his name.
It wasn't from Wolves, was it? No.
No. I can't mind. Tell me his name.
João Félix.
Yeah, João Félix. Yeah.
Where did he move from?
I don't know. Benfica, maybe?
Oh, I've never got him.
Maybe, was it? the other Chelsea one you didn't get was when Romelu Lukaku moved back to Chelsea 21-22 season. And the final one on the list that you missed. Number 19, and you would never have got us.
Give me the teams.
Right, I'll give you to Chelsea. In the 2021 season, not playing for Chelsea anymore. He went to Chelsea. I think it was.
Was it Midrick?
No, left
side.
Where's he play?
Centre forward, but I think he's moved position.
Havertz,
yeah. Well done, Daz. I didn't think you had that in you.
Right, we've got a masked footballer to try and unmask in just a wee second. Right, so basically, this is John being a big lazy bastard, and he's picked someone who plays with Falkirk in the 90s.
By the way, can I just say, everyone in the YouTube comments, like, putting in, like, all these, and I bet they're all Falkirk supporters trying to do me over as well, because I know some of the people that put comments on them, and I'm after you if I see you at the Falkirk game, because you shouldn't be giving a fifer a hand here. Just want to say that, right?
Exactly, John.
So they haven't played with Celtic and Rangers, Hibs or Hearts, but they did play with Falkirk in the 1990s, and they're a striker. Is it? Oh my God! Is it Kevin McAllister? See, after all,
he was a winger. Wasn't a striker.
Nah, he wasn't a striker.
Right. Which other clues that we've got? Is that it?
No international caps. Named after someone in Home Alone. I think that was a cap as well.
No, it wasn't he.
Do you know there's a Kevin McAllister? Oh, Kevin McAllister played with Hibs, so that rules him out.
Yeah.
And also Kevin McAllister, I believe, is Alexis McAllister's brother, the boy who plays with Liverpool. There's another Kevin McAllister.
And their dad was Carlos McAllister, because I always remember in Chapman.
Have you ever seen a picture of Carlos McAllister?
No, but I always remember in Chapman going, he must be Scottish in Argentina. There's no one called McAllister.
Wait till I show you a picture of Carlos McAllister.
He looks
like the most Scottish person. Come and see this, Dad. Look at this is Alexis McAllister's dad. Look at him! Played with Boca Juniors! He stays in Bonnyrigg. Like, it's unbelievable. Look at him.
That's his dad.
Look, there he is with Maradona. It's so good.
There you go.
It's so good.
I've seen him in Wonder Man.
Right. John.
Right, what?
Did we rule out that they played in the cup final?
What's that?
Did we rule out that they played in the Scottish Cup final?
No, you haven't ruled that out. Do you want to ask that question?
Mass footballer, did you play in the 1997 Scottish Cup final where Falkirk lost to Kilmarnock? No, he didn't. Right, okay.
Yeah, I'll give you a question as well, Daz.
Who was your centre forward then?
Oh, I don't
Scott
know.
Crabb.
Scott Crabb.
Scott Crabb, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mass footballer, were you a doctor?
Aye. Yeah!
Amazing! Oh, no! Did you get that?
Amazing!
Where have you got this from, Dash? You've got this from somewhere.
I'll let you do the honours then.
Big Duke.
Mass footballer, are you...
No, you go.
No.
No, I've gave it you.
Mass footballer, are you Kenny Duker?
It's me, Kenny Duker.
How did you pull that, Dash? How did you pull that?
Because I was thinking of all the centre forwards, and then when he didn't play in the cup final, and he was a prolific, he scored a lot of
not
goals.
Not for Falkirk, not he scored for Falkirk.
But he was a prolific goal scorer, wasn't he?
He certainly was.
Did he play in the cup final with Gretna?
He was there for 4 years. He must have done. Was he in loan at that point? Because remember he had a fallout and ended up down at Northampton.
Remember he ended up
Real Salt Lake.
He scored. I was going to say he ended up in the MLS.
Yeah, he was in the MLS for.
He only scored one goal for Falkirk in 10 years.
I know. I was speaking to him actually, Stephen. He says you did an event with him at one point,
a previous podcast that I was on.
He's a keen bagpiper as well as Kenny Duker. He currently has got his own practice out in Denny.
All right, okay.
There you go. So he's the bull Kenny. So he was very kind. I met him in the pub. I said, Kenny, will you do this for me? He said, I know, but that's
the dick.
There you go. The good doctor.
So that means you need to come up with damn it next week.
I can't use a Falkirk player because that's just going to be your go-to question from now on. Jesus.
Right, let's finish off with the quiz then, shall we?
Right, let's do that.
The score is currently 11-all in the quiz.
Oh, is it? What's the score in the other one?
Who did you're winning.
Right. So, five questions. Each get the same question. Top bin, all that stuff. You know the rules by now. And here is question number one from Hostess with the Most S. That is producer John.
Trying not to be sweaty today. Here we go. Question number one on the quiz. How many SPFL teams have co-managers? How many SPFL teams have co-managers?
In the full of Scotland.
In the full of Scotland, 42 teams. How many of them have co-managers?
I don't know, do you? Co-managers?
Yeah. Got your boards. So you can put the boards out today.
Co-managers?
Would you ever have been a co-manager?
No.
It seemed like... we had co-managers at Falkirk. We had Lee Miller and Dave McCracken.
I have no idea.
And you also had...
Do you know this?
I know of maybe a few. What are you going for?
I'm going there. What
four.
At? You've went four.
Is four the right answer, John?
No.
I can only think of one, which is the two boys at Arbroath.
Who's?
Peter Heat. You've got Ryan Strachan. And is it the Jason Brown? It's one of the Browns. It's one of the many Browns that
so
Peter Head have. So yeah, so Arbroath and Peter Heat have both got Jordan Brown. It's Jordan Brown who.
Mate,
is.
Do you know? I'm going to be honest with you. I had one down, and you went, "Oh, I can think of a few," and I went four.
That's why I said that.
Exactly.
There you go. All right. Okay. No. Right. Your next question: who is the youngest manager in the Scottish Premiership? Who is the youngest manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Youngest manager.
Youngest. We had the oldest the other week. We were John McGlynn. Well, Martin O'Neill now.
Permanent manager.
Yeah.
I think I'm wrong here.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, to be honest with you.
Got some rundown.
Yep. Right. I have gone for David Gray.
David Gray.
I was either him. I went for Martindale.
You went no. Davy Martindale. Are you kidding me?
Is Davy no young?
No.
Is he no?
Well, he's no old.
Is David Gray the youngest?
Is he? I'm questioning myself.
I know I'm right.
You're so sweaty.
Absolutely not. You're both wrong.
Hold on, right? Don't tell us then. The Motherwell manager.
No.
I need to look at the.
Hold on.
I need to look at the table. That'll help me.
Hibs, Hearts.
Me there.
Dundee.
It's very obvious.
Jim Goodwin.
No.
Was it Danny Rowe?
Yes. 36.
How did we not get that?
Only 36 years old. There you go. So
I guess he's a good game. 0-0.
There you go. 0-0. Doing well. Are you alright, Stephen?
1-0 to him.
Stephen, you're right.
Fucking hell, some germs in here. Hurry
Jesus
up, John.
Jesus Christ, I would better get out of here quick. Right, okay, your next question is a
I've got the cold.
It's a mystery voice. Who is this?
Oh, no. See the reaction at the end, and, you know, deservedly so. So we're disappointed with the result, and the players are down, disappointed, hurt. But they're going to have to pick themselves up and recover because we've got a big game next week.
Who's that?
See the reaction at the end, and, you know, deservedly so. So we're disappointed with the result, and the players are down, disappointed, hurt. But they're going to have to pick themselves up and recover because we've got a big game next week.
I've got it.
Have you, mate?
100%.
Yeah, 100%. I fucking hate these things. Right, who are you going?
Right, you got some rundown, Daz?
You go first.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
I'm going to go with him.
What are you writing down?
Peter Leaven.
Peter Leaven. Is safe.
And Marshall is saved.
No.
Yes. The answer, Stephen, is Darren Fletcher.
1-0, Stephen. That was his reaction.
Hold on.
What?
This is this big Scottish football podcast.
He's Scottish.
Yeah, but he fucking works in England. He manages. He's co-manager. Well, he's
interim manager
in Manchester United. Mate, you can't get down that road. I'm sorry. That's
Scottish.
Not acceptable.
It's a Scottish legend.
But this is Scottish football.
His children aren't. One of them is a Scottish legend. And well,
Scottish, you'd know all about that, John.
Scottish football.
Having a mixed family.
What was it? Is it Tyler's the good one and Jack's the bad one? I can't remember.
I can't remember which one.
Right, 1-0 to Stephen.
Two to go.
Okay, so number four.
Still got your top bins available. And your fourth question on the quiz is, who is Celtic's most capped player? Who is Celtic's most capped player?
Most capped player.
Easy peasy. Really easy, this one. Really easy.
Right, got it.
You got it. Right, okay, I'll stop the timer then. Right, okay.
Schmeichel.
Kasper Schmeichel.
Yes, both written Schmeichel, and so both right. 120 caps for Denmark. 2-1. Right, okay, Daz, you've got a decision to make here. What do you want to do?
I'm going top bin, mate. I've got to.
Right, I'm going top bin.
Because if he gets the next one right,
okay. Do you want to give me my question first?
Then I'll put the tension up, put the pressure on Daz.
Because then
I can only draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could win if I get it wrong.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Right,
okay.
Give me my normal.
Right, I'll give you your normal. Your question is, Stephen, which team is the furthest south in the SPFL? Which team is the furthest south in the SPFL?
I know that.
Well, I can't just tell you. I don't need to write it down.
I know, you can just tell me because that's an answer.
Stranraer.
Stranraer, yeah. It's Stranraer.
See, that's so fucking easy.
A lot of people would have said Annan.
Nah,
because it's just there's a ball here.
Those people are really silly though.
It's just there's a ball here in it between the latitude between Annan and Stranraer. So there you go.
Right, I need this, John
Boy. You need this for the win, Daz.
No, I need this for the equaliser.
Aye, yeah. Okay, your top bin question, and it's Raith Rovers related. Here we go.
Oh,
which current Raith Rovers player has 88 goals for the club? Which current Raith Rovers player has 88 goals for the club? If you're going to get a stand named after you, Daz, you should know this question.
This is such an easy question.
No, it's not because I can't remember the boy's name.
It's such an easy question about Raith Rovers.
This is not a top-end question, John.
What guy's got 88 goals?
Aye.
This is such an easy question.
What's his name? I can't remember his name.
This is so easy. Not top bin.
I've got it wrong. I can't remember his name.
What you got written down?
Henslow or something.
Henslow?
Henslow!
I can't remember his name. When does it start with, John? Hold on, when does it start with?
The guy for keeping up appearances.
When does it start with?
It begins, first name begins with an L.
Laurie,
not Laurie.
No, I'm struggling here. I do.
Oh, it's such an easy question. Yeah. Isn't
Hold on. Sorry, I always get him mixed up with another guy.
Right.
Which is second initial?
V.
It's Lewis Vaughan.
That is Lewis Vaughan.
Vaughan, that's the guy.
Stephen, you win.
That's who I meant.
Hounslow.
Yeah.
Onslow from Keeping Up Appearances.
Yeah.
88 goals for Raith Rovers.
Did she pass away recently?
Patricia Routledge, sadly no longer with us.
Yeah, it was quite recent, wasn't it?
She died at the end of last year. Patricia Routledge.
Keeping Up Appearances.
She was in Hyacinth Bouquet.
Oh, right, okay.
Aye, she's dead.
Buckets.
Aye, she kicked the bucket. So there you are.
They must stand after it.
The guy who played Onslow died about 15 years ago.
Did he?
Aye, yeah. He was in Heartbeat as well. Wait a minute.
Greengrass must be not. He must be gone now as well, eh?
Oh, the guy who played Claude Greengrass.
Oh, he's gone.
So
aye, he's got to be gone.
The guy was called Geoffrey Hughes, and he died in 2012. This is who played Onslow. And yes, he was in
Heartbeat
as well.
Remember Heartbeat?
Heartbeat, why do you miss when my baby misses me?
I think Nick Berry had a number one with that as well.
I think you're absolutely right, but that is a discussion for another time, and this is the end of episode 161 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you so much for having us on. I'm just saying, Claude Greengrass I'm sure the guy died years ago. Bill Maynard, his name was.
That's it.
In fact, no, he only died in 2018.
There you go.
That was years ago.
Yeah, I know, but like I thought it was like way back in the day. So
shout out to the Maynards.
Yeah, to the Maynards. Exactly. Yeah. Love their wine gums. Right. Okay. Thank you very much for listening. Keep your comments coming in on YouTube as per usual. Love to hear your thoughts. We'll read out the best of the comments next week on the show. Myself and Daz will be back next Monday for another Big Scottish Football Podcast. Hopefully then, producer John will be a lot less sweaty. It was a very sweaty episode. So enjoy your week, and I'm away to have a limb sip. I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.